This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of BlockHash Exploring the Blockchain. Today, episode 383 with the co-founder of ARPA, Felix Xu, to talk about the network and some of their products within the network and the things that they are building, as well as stuff kind of in relation to partnerships, collaborations, autonomous worlds, Raincast, and a few other things that we'll dive into in a bit more detail. But Felix, want to welcome you to the show and introduce you to the audience. How you doing, man? It is a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Brandon, to have me on the show. It's my honor to be here. And today I will introduce, what we do at ARPA Network, our new product, Raincast, and the use cases, including autonomous world and fully on-chain game and, gaming in general.
Excited to dive into it. Would love to kind of get an idea of who you are and your background as well. I'm sure the audience will be very curious. So give me a little bit of context. What is your story personally? How did you end up, in this world and Web3 and working on ARPA?
I always think that Web3 or crypto is a cross-discipline between technology and finance. So I actually studied finance and information systems at New York University, back in college. And after that, I did 2 years of hedge fund and then, followed by 1 year of venture capital investment. So where I mostly focused in blockchain as a service and crypto. So I got into this space quite early, quit my job in early 2018 to found, ARPA Network with my co-founders. And we have been working on it for the past 5.5 years. So time flies. Like the market is definitely very different. Industry, evolved a lot since 2018. So for us, we always try to find new use cases and new products that, enabled by multi-party computation. So that is an area that we are specialized in. And a bit about my background, I'm a big crypto believer because I think it's granted our, freedom as sovereign individuals. And also it's a fascinating technology that include cryptography, decentralized network. So it has always been, fascinating to me in terms of sociology and also technology standpoints.
Very nice. Yeah, I feel the same way about Web3 and crypto. And I think there's a lot of potential within this industry to do a lot of good in multiple different industries across the world. And very curious, how you guys are doing that specifically with ARPA Network. Can you give me a little bit of an idea as to what makes ARPA Network so unique and also different than other networks that are out there? What makes you guys tick?
Sure. I can give you a brief introduction of ARPA Network. So what we do is we use a cryptography algorithms called multi-party computation, or more specifically threshold signature schemes. In order to basically enable some use cases or additional features to be able to do on different blockchains. So ARPA Network is blockchain agnostic, right now we are integrated with Ethereum, Base, you know, Optimism, and also some other EVM chains. So basically what we can do is, you know, we have a group of decentralized nodes, and together they can perform the partial signatures or threshold signatures for BLS signature. It's kind of technical, but the use cases are quite simple. Like, for example, one use case that we have is random number generator that can be verified on-chain. So the randomness, you know, is very crucial in a lot of these scenarios, especially in games, you know, lottery, community voting, or community campaigns or events. So basically, like DApps on different chains, they can request for random numbers, and then we will have a proxy smart contract to listen to these requests and then perform the threshold signatures within the ARPA network, and then submit a random number that these DApps can use. So basically, we provide, you know, the ARPA network, and on top of that, we provide the SDK, the Randcast SDK, to enable these random number generator requests. So that is a brief introduction of ARPA network. I can definitely dive deeper into the tech side or into the use cases or vertical side.
Yeah, I want to do a little bit of both. I want to start off trying to get a good understanding of the threshold BLS and how that kind of makes up the ARPA network. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Actually, when we started in 2018, in the first 2 years, we've been focusing on enterprise solutions, right? Enterprise privacy-preserving data analytics. So, for example, use case for general purpose multi-party computation is to have two or three sets of data, and you can privately compute on the three sets of data. For example, doing like data analysis or doing private sector intersections, you know, within these data sets. And the technology was quite advanced at the time. We actually have a lot of difficulties, you know, going to these enterprises and pitch our technology. The first thing they will ask is, you know, if this technology is mature, you know, if you as the middleman can see the data, you know, for between these private data sets. The answer is no, like we cannot see anything. Like it's all cryptographic algorithms, and basically we just perform using, you know, a decentralized group of nodes. However, we do see more opportunities in the crypto space, right? So we believe, you know, all these like wallets, bridges, and also like we see random number as one of the use cases as well. So like these are more crypto native use cases that, you know, after 2 years, we decided to pursue pure crypto native use cases instead of going after these enterprises who doesn't know or don't trust about the multi-party computation technology. So within the crypto space, one specific algorithms under the general multi-party computation is threshold signature schemes, right? So basically, you shard the keys like at the time when it's generated between a decentralized group of nodes. And then, and these nodes can perform partial signatures. And if, you know, the partial signatures can be above to certain threshold, say 6 out of 10 nodes, then they can be combined together and to submit one single signature on chain. So that can enable a lot of these use cases I mentioned, like bridges, you know, wallets, and also random number generator. And we see, you know, less competition within the randomness beacon side compared to wallets and compared to bridges. So that's what we, you know, are specialized in, and we provide a full suite of SDKs for DApps to easily integrate with ARPA Randcast. And the reason that we use the BLS signatures instead of the ECDSA signatures, because there are several unique characteristics about BLS, especially partial BLS signatures. First is, it can be easily aggregated between a large set of nodes. So that's why, you know, the ETH beacon chain, they are using BLS signature to do the aggregation. And also, during during the random number generation process, you know, using the threshold signature schemes, BLS signature is deterministic, meaning that it's less prone to abort attack or some other attack vectors. So that is why, you know, we use threshold BLS, to be able to support the random number generator, this use case.
Taking that and how that applies to the ARPA network, what are some use cases that ARPA has completed or can complete to kind of give people an example of some things the network can do?
Yep. So right now, like we, one product that that's already live is ARPA Rencast, which is a suite of SDK for dApps to request random number, from different chains. So we are live on Ethereum, Optimism on Base, and, you know, we are actively integrating with other, you know, up and rising EVM, you know, layer twos or even like EVM layer ones. So that is something we have it readily available. So right now we actually partner with several, infrastructure players and also, end users games to showcase the ARPA Rencast.
This might be an interesting question, kind of dive into a bit more since it's kind of popular right now, but looking at, on-chain games within the Web3 space or autonomous worlds or the metaverse in particular, I'm kind of curious, how maybe you guys envision at ARPA, how you can enhance those types of gaming experiences through blockchain.
First of all, I believe the bread and butter for blockchain is trustless. It's being trustless. You don't need to trust a middle party you can verify, if it's valid or not, right? So that is kind of the ethos for blockchain. And for us, blockchain is to remove the single point of failure in the financial system, right? And for us is to remove the single point of failure in random number generation process. Once you can control the randomness, then you can control who wins, right? Within lotteries, in the games, when you open a loot box, that is something that, people have the money at stake. So we believe that decentralized way to generate random number and also verifiable way to generate random number is crucial for, let's say, the digital economy. The metaverse or the games or, just anything that related to probability. So one of the vertical that we support is games, right? And we support both, GameFi or hybrid, Web 2.5 games and also Web 3, like the real crypto native fully on-chain games. Those are very different verticals. For Web 2.5 games like Axie Infinity, for example, they are onboarding millions of users. So they are actually doing a good job for the whole crypto space to have more users. And for crypto native, fully on-chain game, it's a very niche sector. The total amount of users is maybe just less than 1,000 people in this world. However, they are trying, so basically we also explore in that front because we think it's the trailblazer for people to build complex smart contract to make it fun, right? To build experiments that push the boundary for the smart contract development and also eventually for infrastructure as well. So I can touch a little bit on both. Our random number can be used very easily by integrated by these Web 2.5 games. Usually they just need to copy our consumer contract and then they can start using the service. As we build ARPA Rencast, we actually interviewed with a lot of people, a lot of the clients for Chainlink VRF, which is our biggest and this industry's leading player for random number generator. We learn about these Chainlink VRF's clients' pain points, and we try to build our product or developer experience better than Chainlink VRF. So, for example, on the security side, threshold BLS, you know, we use a decentralized group of nodes instead of just one node to perform the algorithms to generate random number. So that is more decentralized and more secure. And at the same time, you know, we also focus on developer experience in subscriptions, you know, pricing, and also like on the integration and simulation side of using our product. So for example, we will run simulation about, you know, gas fee costs, et cetera, for our users to have a better understanding of, you know, how to use the product and what to expect about the product. So that is also something that we make a lot of efforts in. So for these like Web 2.5 games, usually, you know, they just need to integrate our contract and they can start using it. And for crypto native, fully on-chain games, it's quite a different story. So one framework, or let's say it's called so-called game engine that people commonly use, is called MUD. It's called MUD Engine. The MUD Engine is developed by the OG Dark Forest team, which is, you know, the true OG for fully on-chain game. And we actually integrated Rancast with MUD. So developers can actually integrate, you know, developers can request for random numbers and just using the same framework that they are working on their games. So we also try to, you know, build a lot of that part, the infrastructure part out. However, like in terms of the number of the teams, fully on-chain game is definitely less than Web 2.5 games, and the user side is smaller as well. But we believe it's interesting to watch vertical within the gaming sector.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I know another one of your verticals is also NFTs. And maybe how does Rancast play into, you know, non-fungible tokens and maybe that side of the industry?
I'm actually a big NFT collector. I have been collecting NFTs since the middle of 2020. So it was quite early. And in 2021, I was fascinated by art blocks. So basically everything is generative art, and everything's written in code, you know, try to fit into the size of a smart contract. So basically like it's, I found it very crypto native as well. So, and also like are all these like PFP series, they, you know, all of them have rarities, different rarities based on attributes and everything. So for Rancast, you know, they can, NFT projects can request for randomness from us to fairly like and verifiably distribute their rarities. So that is something that all these NFT projects can do. And they don't actually need to spend a lot of money on it because they do is use one random seed for the whole series, right? So for example, you have like 10,000 series, so 10,000 pieces, but you will only need one random seed to assign the attributes for the whole series.
I also noticed, because I come from a science background, that scientific research is another potential vertical for you guys. How do you imagine that maybe playing into whether it's scientific research in sample studies or simulated data? Like, is that something you guys have taken on a use case for already, or something you imagine that you guys could explore?
That is more something that we think there's going to be use cases. So far, like it, those are not our focus. We do think over time, you know, when all these like surveys or like research, if they use like our random seeds, then it's definitely more provable and more transparent. But like to be honest, right now it's not our focus.
Interesting, but it's expandable. Like you guys have a lot of potential verticals down the line that you could approach.
Sure. Yeah, because randomness is something that, exists in the nature world, and basically, like all of our lives, we experience, a lot of probabilities and randomness in our lives as well. So, it's a rabbit hole. I mean, just building these provable and verifiable pseudo randomness, it's something that's fascinating for us.
Do you guys have any current partnerships or collaborations that you're able to discuss? Maybe things that you're working on with some other partners?
Yeah, like so we actually categorize like our partners into two parts. First one is like these infrastructures or channels, distribution channels for us, right? So things that we need to integrate in order to meet more audience. So like I said, right now Alpha Rankcast is live on Ethereum, Coinbase Base Rollup, and also Optimism Mainnet and some other EVM chains, right? So basically, we see those blockchains as our distribution channel. So DApps there, we try to be close with them, be friends with them, and then try to support with our service. And also, there are, because games are actually request, fast blockchains and also fast finality and low gas fees. So they are rollup as a service players that help these games to set up their own rollups. So for example, Outlier and Caldera, those two are, our partners as well. So that we can, all these new rollups or game specific rollups, they can request our random numbers there. And other than that, within the ARPA network, we try to be as decentralized as possible. So our node providers include some leading names like RockX, Instones. So those are big Ethereum validators that they also help the ARPA network. We are exploring a partnership with EigenLayer because we see that EigenLayer restaking is something that can provide shared security, using Ethereum nodes. So I think that can be interesting for the ARPA network and Rankcast down the road. So those are the infrastructure players that we integrate. And on the other hand, the end users that we integrate and support random numbers, they are also in different verticals, in lottery, in games, fully on-chain games, and also something else. So basically, so for games, we have Elysium and Mirror World, and in community and guilds, we have Ancient Eight, and for other players, we are also in talk with several other games that's gonna go online later this year.
Is staking something that's a big part of the ARPA network as well for people that are within the community?
Sure. Yeah, you can stake ARPA, and join the community staking program, right? So basically, by staking, you are staking with node providers, and then they will set up the nodes and to provide, threshold BLS computation network. So if you guys go to arpanetwork.io-stake, then you can definitely see staking. Currently, I think it's quite the yield and reward is quite lucrative at the moment.
You're currently at an event right now, right?
Yeah, I'm here in Denver, to participate in East Denver. I heard there's gonna be like 30,000 people in town just for East Denver.
How's it been going so far?
It's been pretty good. I mean, I went to actually like yesterday I went to this AGI like and crypto conference. It was interesting because it's interesting to see cross discipline from both crypto and AI and how crypto can be an incentive layer for AI. So I think that is interesting. The reason that I want to know more because in games or in all these like digital content creation, AI can definitely be a good assistant, right? Can increase the productivity. So in turn, even in crypto space, we are basically like working with AI tools And all these verticals can be benefited by AI as well.
Oh, yeah. AI is one of the most fascinating intersections, I think, between blockchain and another technology. And I see a lot more networks starting to find ways to integrate AI in very creative ways with their blockchain protocols. And I think that two are very beneficial to each other. I think that it'll actually make AI a lot better, and it'll actually give blockchain more potential use cases. Looking at your guys' roadmap, we're at the beginning of 2024. You know, when you look out throughout the rest of the year, what are some things that you guys maybe are working on or milestones you want to hit? Do you have new products you want to release? What can you tell people about what you guys want to do this year?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, we used to have, you know, 3 years of roadmap when we first started. Mm-hmm. Because back in 2018, you know, all these projects, they tried to give out like 4 years or 5 years of roadmap.
Sure.
But actually later on, like I found it doesn't make sense to have a very long roadmap, because we are a startup, and then crypto is a very fast developing space. So like anything that you plan ahead for a year, more than a year, can be obsolete, right? Within like 6 months. We constantly revisit, and then we constantly adjust what we do in the next year, or like even in the next 6 months, right? So for the past quarter, we are actually doing this fully on-chain game. That is our first attempt, and we see it as an experiment for us, not only to integrate with Rancast, ARPA Rancast, but also to experiment with complex smart contract using MUD engine, and also try to, you know, make a modding the token standard to enable some interesting features, right? So in the next game, which we are going to do a public testing at the end of this month, is a companion game, right? So basically, it's a mobile game, it's a companion game. So basically, everyone try to play with one pet. It's a tug of war. Basically, you have two factions. One is to basically like do good things. The other faction is to basically abuse the pet. That's like, we do this because we try to explore the intimacy relationship, you know, with the loved ones. Even out of good intention, you can, you know, doing something actually abusing them, like abusing your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting fully on-chain game. It's well designed by a famous designer, famous artist that we work with. And then we make a lot of experiments within a game. For example, we invented this controlled double spending tokens. Basically, if you send it around, it can be double spended, but based on some metrics and based on some conditions. Also, like, you know, the two factions is a tug of war. Basically, that will lead to some interesting results. So that is the game that we've been working on for the past 3 months as our first attempt in the fully autonomous, like fully on-chain game and also autonomous world.
Sounds very exciting, some of the things you guys are working on, and it'll be cool to see how things shape up for you guys this year. Where can people go to keep up with the ARPA network? Do you guys have a community someplace like Discord or Telegram, or are you guys primarily on social media? Where would you direct people?
Sure. Like the best way to stay tuned is our Twitter or X. The handle is ARPA official, ARPA official. So that is our most up-to-date information. You can also join our Telegram. We do have some discussion there, and sometimes we have, you know, some campaigns within the Telegram group. For the upcoming game, we will announce to the community sometime later this month, and then we expect the public test on Redstone. So it's a roll-up specific for fully on-chain games, we are looking forward to receive user feedback once we launch the new game.
And if there's other projects, games, potential partners out there that want to work with you guys, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, send a message in the Telegram group chat. We will have our customer service colleagues, you know, to to, you know, have a conversation, or you can DM me and on my X. So my handle is Felix MXU. You know, you can send me a DM.
Felix, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and to talk about what you guys are doing with the ARPA Network, with RANcast, with some of your partnerships and collaborations and your aspirations for this year. I think it's really great what you guys are doing. I think you're fulfilling a very important niche, and very excited to see, you know, what you guys continue to do going forward. So thank you for taking the time to share.
Thanks so much, Brandon. And thank you for bringing me on the show and to introduce ARPA Network. You know, like, I wish I can, you know, we can announce something big in the next coming weeks. And also, we hope everyone enjoy our new game.
Absolutely. We'll do another follow-up episode relatively soon, and we'll have you guys back on. Maybe you can talk about some of the things that come out recently. Take care. We'll talk soon.